live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Tuesday night as the Flames finally have a road win for the first time since November 5th and for the first time in regulation since October 13th. The Calgary Flames have won a game on the road. 4-3, your final score at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, as Jonathan Huberdeau's power play goal with less than 5 minutes to go in the second period ends up being the game winner, breaking a 3-3 tie, and the Flames have won on the road for the first time in 9 games. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast is underway, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. My name is Pat Steinberg, with the phone lines open at 403-240-4444. The text line open at 960-960 as the Flames also snap another streak tonight as we welcome in Megan Mickelson from Bridgestone Arena as well, the color voice of the Flames. For the first time in 26 games, the Flames score more than 3 goals. Jonathan Huberdeau's game winner gets him to that elusive 4th goal, and they snap a 25-game streak of not scoring more than 3 goals. Mick, our marquee matchup tonight, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota, was just the whole idea of you've got a reeling Predators team. They have now lost 8 in a row. They entered having lost 7 straight. They had not scored, and there's a lot of buzz around what's going to happen with head coach Andrew Burnett, so on and so forth. Flames have got all these streaks going against them, road losing streak, the streak of not scoring more than 3 goals. It was kind of one of those nights where you felt like the Flames had to take advantage of a reeling Predators team and add to their misery. And even though they fell down on 3 separate occasions, they were able to do that with a good second period and then a nice closeout in the third.
Well, and you knew that the Predators were going to come to play and that they were going to push right from the start. And I think that we saw that from them. I chatted with Steven Stamkos this morning, and he said that they feel like they've played some really good hockey and that they were on the verge of, you know, scoring some more goals and winning a game. And, you know, it was a little bit scary watching the first part of the game because they were pushing and they were dynamic. But the Flames, I thought, really weathered that well. And you could tell that they expected a tough game. They didn't come into this one thinking it was going to be a walk in the park by any means, and just continued to fight their way back into this one. But what I loved is that, like I said, they didn't take the Predators lightly, regardless of what their record was and how they were coming into this one. They knew it was going to be a tough game, and you can tell the Flames knew they were going to need a really solid effort for a good road win, and they did that.
That was our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Boxing Week blowout starts now at the giant Country Hills Toyota. For a limited time, save the $3,000 to $5,000 on every Tundra. It's time to Toyota. Let's select tonight's hardest working Flame, Mick. Which way are you leaning for a hardest worker tonight?
Well, honorable mentions to Jonathan Huberdeau, obviously, with the game-winning goal, and thought that he did a good job once again of going to the front of the net and just being, you know, really competitive all over the ice, and thought that that was huge. And obviously getting past the I guess you could say, hump of 3 goals, only scoring 3 goals in games for the Flames.
It was a bit of a hump.
Getting that 4th one. Oh, yeah. that wasn't a hump. That was like
a mountain.
That was the Rocky Mountains right there. And so liked his game. But, I mean, the guy who takes it for me is Kevin Rooney. And it starts with the face-off win in the D zone. And, you know, Ryan Huska, very comfortable, obviously, putting that 4th line out there for defensive zone face-offs. Wins the draw and then gets his tail up the ice in a hurry. Walker Duehr with the burst of speed. But, I mean, to win that face-off, then get up the ice, beat all the Predators up the ice and score that goal, that was clutch. And then picks up an assist as well. But then blocks a shot with his face in the third period on the penalty kill. And also on that PK, it was huge, winning D-zone faceoff. So just really liked his game and said it right after the game with Wilsey here. I think that that's probably the best game that he's played for me anyways as a member of the Calgary Flames. So loved his game from start to finish.
Kevin Rooney, your hardest working Flame tonight in a 4-3 win over Nashville. Another multi-point night for Jonathan Huberdeau. know, Mick. He scores the game winner. And once again, like we talked about this post game on Sunday as well, despite it being a 6-2 loss, as we were looking for kind of silver linings in that game, we talked about Huberdeau and Kadri and playing well. Well, where does Huberdeau score the game winner from? He scores it like less than a foot from the crease as he picks up that rebound. That's where he's been scoring a lot of his goals. That's where he's been doing a lot of his work. He gets the assist on the Kadri goal in the first and then scores the game winner late in the second and does so really close to the net. He's starting to find a real comfort zone right there, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's, I think what's impressive for me is that, you know, as you get older as a player, you have to find different ways to be impactful. And sometimes you have to change your game and change the way you play. And that's exactly what he's had to do. And not that he's not still that playmaking, you know, highly skilled guy with, you know, kind of eyes in the back of his head sometimes. You still see that and you see flashes of that, but it's all the other areas of his game that he's really improved upon and picked up on that has been impressive for me. He's much more of a complete player, and he seems really comfortable in that kind of greasy net front area. It doesn't surprise me. I've had some chats with him about how hard he worked in the gym this summer. He's a strong guy. He should be parking himself in front of the net more.
And I want to ask you about Dan Vladar's night as well, and wasn't super busy in that second period, even into the third, but then when he did get called upon, he made some big stops, and obviously that flurry there in the final 90 seconds or so where he makes a few really good stops. And, you know, Dustin Wolf has maybe fought it a little bit more recently than he had earlier in the year. We had seen Vladar start three in a row. Wolf played against Dallas, Vladar tonight, but, you know, there's a tandem, and sometimes one guy's going to take the mail for a little bit. Vladar seems to be in a little bit of a nice groove right now.
Yeah, he made some massive saves, especially in the third period, and got some luck from the goalpost as well. But I like his level of compete right now. Like, you can tell he's feisty. He's intense. Obviously, the reaction from him after the game winner in overtime against St. Louis, I mean, there's that feistiness right there. You can tell how badly he wants to win, and it's definitely being seen in his play, and I just thought that he was crucial in this win and making key saves at key times in order for the Flames to hold the lead.
And just one last one for you quickly. You mentioned Kevin Rooney, hardest working Flame. That fourth line, Walker Dewar sets up that goal with a nice burst of speed down the right side. They also kind of got that Pahal goal going by a nice grind shift after a line change. I know Ryan Lomberg will be back at some point, but what you've seen from Rooney, Pelche, Dewar tonight, pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard if you think about the amount that they generated in this game and how much havoc they caused, the energy they brought, the momentum shift that they created. Like, how do you change that line? So that's going to be interesting moving forward, but they were also crucial in this win.
Okay, Mick, we will see you on Thursday for the Flames and Lightning. Thank you as always.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson wrapping up from Nashville, where the Flames finally have a road win. They take a 4-3 victory over the Preds, and that road losing streak ends at 8. For the first time in 9 games, Flames have won on the road, and for the first time in almost 2 months, they've won a regulation game on the road. They only had one regulation win on the road, period, coming into tonight, and that was back on October 13th when they beat the Oilers in game 3 of the season. And since that time, the only wins they'd had, I mean, they only had one other road win since that, and that was the Montreal overtime win. They also had the Vancouver overtime win in game 1 of the season. Otherwise, no road success. They'd lost 8 in a row, and they, you know, back and forth against the Predators they went tonight, but they found a way. They held on. They didn't allow a goal in the third, and they do improve. This is maybe one thing that they can build on. It's kind of a good thing and a bad thing at the same time, in that on the one hand, they're perfect when carrying a lead into the third period, now 6-for-6. On the other hand, 6 out of 29, you'd like to be in more situations like that when you start the third period with a lead. They hadn't had that in quite some time. They haven't had that very often this year. But if you're the Flames, you'll take it tonight. And they added to Nashville's misery, right? Preds had lost 7 in a row. Now they've lost 8 in a row. In those 8 straight losses, only 14 goals scored. and that includes three tonight. And if you're the Flames, you don't care about Nashville's misery. You don't care about what's happened to them. You just wanted to make sure that you got the win. But, you know, in the NHL, you're allowed to kick teams when they're down. That's part of being a pro sports team. You're supposed to revel in adding to another team's misery, and the Flames did that a little bit tonight. Close one, and could have gone either way, but it does end up going Calgary's way, 4-3, your final score from Bridgestone Arena. It's Steinberg along with you. Hey, get in line on the phone lines, 403-240-4444. Get in line on the text line at 960-960. Would love to hear from you, your phone calls, your texts coming up, and a whole lot more. Flames Talk Postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is your Flames Talk Postgame show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk Postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right. Flames finally victorious for just the fourth time this season, and for the first time in nine tries. Finally a win on the road. Welcome back to our Flames Talk post-game show on a Tuesday night. It's Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Phone lines are open. If you want to get in, you can do so at 403-240-4444, or you can fire us a text, 960-960. We will get there very shortly. First of all, the Flames needed at some point, whether it was a masterpiece or not a masterpiece, they needed at some point to get a win on the road. And was this a masterpiece? No, probably not, especially in the first 40 minutes. Although, give the Flames credit, pretty solid third period, all things considered, and not allowing what you'd think, although they didn't look super desperate, but what you'd think is a desperate Nashville team. They kept them from really being too dangerous for the vast majority of that third period until the final 90 seconds or so. But it was not a defensive clinic on either side for the first 40. That is for sure. A lot of rush chances that should not have turned into what they did again on both sides. That's why it was 1-0, 1-1-2, 1-2-2, 3-2-3-3. A lot of just defensive breakdowns. Still don't know what Mark Jankowski did to get tossed in the box for unsportsmanlike, but he said something or did something, and the Flames made him pay with the Huberdeau power play goal. And hey, look, if there was ever a time for the Flames to break some streaks, like the road losing skid, like the streak of not scoring more than three in a game for 25 straight, it was going to be against this Predators team. I mean, and then on top of that, they lose Roman Josi. That's the other thing. That's why I'm not going to sit here and laud this as like a signature win for the Flames or anything like that, because Preds didn't have Roman Josi for the entire last 40 minutes of play. Now they're down to five defensemen and their only high-end defensemen. They were beat up front as well, but and they just have been a 15th place team in the Western Conference. But if you're the Flames, it doesn't matter. Like, your job is to put the pedal down, and I thought they did so for a good chunk of that second period. Outscored the Preds 3-1 in the second period, and that ends up being the difference. Don't allow them much of anything in the third en route to the victory. I thought that the other thing is Dan Vladar outplayed UC Saros, and good on him. That's a second straight game head-to-head against Saros. A Flames goaltender was the better of the two. In November, it was Dustin Wolf getting the shutout at home in the 2-0 win over the Preds head-to-head. And on this night, Dan Vladar, I thought, wasn't just better. I thought he was significantly better. I mean, none of the three goals that Nashville scores, you're going to put on Vladar's shoulders. And then Vladar, huge once the Flames finally take their first lead, especially in that back stretch of the third period. Saros shaky on the Kadri goal, shaky on the Huberdeau game winner. And then the other two, Pahal with a great shot and Rooney all alone in front of the net. Those ones you're not going to put on the goalie, but two that you can almost bet Saros wants back, and Vladar was much better than he was. So lots of good from the Flames on this night, and lots of theirs better than Nashville's, and that's what they needed this evening, without question. Fourth line was better than Nashville's fourth line, and Calgary's top line was probably better than Nashville's top line. Goaltending was better. Flames defense was significantly better, especially as the game went along. You know, Ball and Anderson had a rough first like 28 minutes or so, and then they settled in and were much better. Anyway, Flames deserved the win. Thought they were the better team tonight. They needed to be the better team tonight, and now they've got a tough test against the Lightning coming up on Thursday, where they return home, and we all know the Flames have been a significantly better team on home ice compared to the road. Let's go to the Flames dressing room now. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's first check in with head coach Ryan Huska following his team's 4-3 win in Nashville.
Coach, you got the road win. You get your 4 goals and obviously some really big moments in this game. What stood out to you?
There was third period when the game's on the line. I thought we had some key shot blocks. I think that's something that's important for our team. Danny, when he needed to make saves, made some good saves for us in the third period. And tonight we had a power play goal against a very good penalty kill, and our penalty kill was clean tonight. So those are all factors that I think were difference makers for us tonight.
And it seemed early when they keep getting one, your response after it, how big are those moments after they get one?
Yeah, big. I mean, it felt like it was going to be one of those nights for a bit where I thought we were controlling a lot of the play and then we'd make a mistake and they capitalized on it. And, you know, you do worry it a little bit when you have a night like that where it seems like it's going our way. But I really thought in the second period the guys dug in, had a very good period, and I think we were able to maintain some of that momentum.
I think the reaction, you mentioned earlier, but just those blocks at those times in the game, obviously one's late in the penalty kill, Kevin's, but just the sacrifice and the appreciation of the teammates.
It's the difference. They're not easy things to do, of course, in those situations, and the guys feel it, and they do feel it for more than just a little while. But that's what, for our team, that's the difference. The margins are so slim for us on usually a nightly basis that the in a shot lane or out of a shot lane can often be the difference for us. And tonight, because of the way the guys were there, that was.
Points in 5 straight for Jonathan, and the way he's finding goals. What's stood out about his game of late?
It's his game, I think, has been good over the last little while, but I do think the line has found a little bit of chemistry, and I really like the way Marty is playing, and I think the pace that Marty plays with allows Naz and Hubie to do their thing with the puck. So hopefully it's a sign of some good things to come.
How much of a lift do you guys get when you get a goal from your fourth line? You get two tonight, right?
Yeah.
With that Rooney Pelche line.
Yeah, it's, I should have probably mentioned that earlier on with one of the key things. Like, when you get your fourth line contributing like that, you take it always, but you have a night where there's two of them coming our way. We'll take it all the time, but as a coach, I'm always more pleased with the thing that Kevin did late in the game for us. So they all did a good job tonight that helped us win.
You talked a lot about Walker, the North speed getting up the ice, and that goal was probably a perfect example of what it can do.
Yeah, from both of them, Walker and Kevin,
sure.
Both of them, they very straight line, put the puck in behind the defense and create a race and see what you can do. And against a good goaltender like that, sometimes that's the way you have to beat him, is just throw it cross crease as quick as you can. So it was a big goal for us at a big time.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska post game tonight as the Flames take a 4-3 win in Nashville. And who scores the game winning goal tonight? It's Jonathan Huberdeau. His point streak extended to 5 games now. And that's a pretty important little stretch there, because in that 5 games, he's got 7 points in his last 5 games on this point streak. So, it was a nice start to the season for Huberdeau. Dropped off a little bit. Now back with Kadri on a line and Pospisil. They've been a whole lot better, and they're both generating and both creating. And Huberdeau is up to points in 5 straight and the game-winning goal. He scores it on the power play with 4:11 to go in the second period. And where is he? He's right on top of the crease again for the game-winning goal. Here is Huberdeau post-game tonight as well.
Well, obviously the win. We talked endlessly, it seems, about the road. How'd you find a way to get one done here tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think, we stuck with the way we were playing, and I think, even though they came back, they scored some quick goals. I mean, we came back, and special teams was good tonight. And, we found a way to win that game. And like I said, and that little skid that we had on the road, and that's great. I mean, now we got a big stretch coming up at home, so we got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned that, but just every time they would get one, you guys had a response. What were you guys feeling and seeing through that stretch?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's always a good sign. I mean, we don't give up resiliency of our group, and, we come back. We knew that was a big one, for us. We wanted to get that win real bad.
Obviously, you stay red hot too. What are you feeling in terms of just in front of the net there and obviously finding pucks and areas?
Yeah, I think, you know, just skating more, you know, getting some steps and go to the net. I mean, that goal, you know, fortunate bounce, you know, Maddie tipped it back to me. But these are the goals you want to score. And I think that was a huge one for us, you know, taking that lead. And, you know, in the third period, we kind of shut down the opposition.
You see those blocks, the teammate Blake and Kevin, you know, the response on the bench probably says it all. But what do you appreciation-wise for those guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to block a shot. So I think it's, you know, for these guys, they're warrior. I mean, to go out there and block some shot and in a key time in a game, you know, at the end of the game. And you know, that's what we need. I think, you know, if we don't block these shots, it might go in. So these guys did a really good job at the end.
There you go. Jonathan Huberdeau post-game as well. Goal and an assist, game-winning goal on the power play. Flames have scored 11 power play goals now in their last 11 games. That's our look from the Flames dressing room tonight, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Okay, we have got one line open right now. If you want to chat on the phone lines, 403-240-4444. So call now. Phone lines open and the text line open as well. Let's get to it at 960-960 for the first time tonight. Starting with Scotty in Victoria, who says the elusive fourth goal appeared and won them the game. Crazy how that works. Stoked for the boys on keeping this one close and taking the lead. Next up is five goals in one game. It's hard to lose when you score five. Huberdeau looked good, and I really like Ball's game out of the D-men. Two shots and four hits. Glad they got that monkey off their back, Pat. Have a great night. Go Flames. Only thing I would say on Scotty's text is I thought Ball had a very rough first 30 minutes or so. He ends up minus seven on these two games on the trip and was kind of not solely responsible, but was in a rough spot on definitely the Marchessault goal. Both Marchessault goals, actually, not the greatest of reads or plays by Ball. Now, once the final Predators goal went in, the 3-2 goal, Ball and Anderson, who I also thought Anderson had a bit of a rough game. That pair had a rough trip. But once it was 3-2, and even from that point forward at 3-3, so on and so forth, and definitely in the third, I thought that Ball and Anderson settled in. I thought Ball got back to what we've known about him. So rough couple of games, a rough four and a half periods or so from Ball, but definitely got back to what the Flames need him to be when the game was at its most important. Now they just got to go back home and try to continue doing what they've done at the Scotiabank Saddledome. They start off a five-game homestand against a good Tampa Bay team on Thursday night, and that's next up. And see if you can, if you're the Flames, see if you can build on what you did on this road game and see if you can continue doing what you've done so well on home ice of late. This comes from Dylan in Revelstoke. Got to give him credit. Kadri had a pretty good game, taking good chances and not giving the puck away much, although he did completely miss his check on that one goal against. He actually contributed positively overall. They should really capitalize on a rare occurrence such as this and trade him. There's got to be someone willing to give the Flames a third rounder or something. That comes from Dylan. He was kidding about the third rounder. Dylan, not the biggest Nazem Kadri fan. Thought Kadri had kind of his good and bad moments. Scored the goal. Had a couple of good opportunities. Was generating and creating with Huberdeau and Pospisil. On the other hand, was kind of not chiefly responsible again, but was partially responsible on a couple of goals too. I don't remember the backtrack. I think was on the Novak goal where he was late coming back on that one. Yeah, it was on the Novak goal to make it 2-1. And then also a little bit of a cough up on the second Marchessault goal. Again, not just on him, but there were a couple of miscues, but also some good things from Kadri in this game. And I did think, once again, that line of Kadri, Huberdeau, and Pospisil was pretty good for the Flames this evening and probably their best line. They were one of the two lines that finished in the one of the lines that were together for most of the night that finished in the black. 57.1% on their 5-on-5 possession, 2-0, 3-1 rather, high danger chances when they were on the ice. I thought it was a good night for that line once again. This reads, Entertaining game tonight. First, a bit of a gripe. The back check and defensive zone breakdowns in the first 40 were awful. Now, for the positives, Huberdeau has reinvented his game and has become a vital component for success we expected him to be. Zeri's electric to watch. The power play and penalty kill look much better. Fourth line tonight was the energy and spark they needed. Liked Dewar and Rooney tonight. Get a good dentist, bud. Overall, reasons for hope, and maybe they can start Wolf for home games and Vladar on the road. Honestly, I'd go right back to Vladar against Tampa Bay on Thursday. And you got five games on this road trip. Wolf's going to get his games. I was very much for when Wolf got his run where he started three in a row and six of eight. Well, now it's four of five for Vladar. He's been a little better than Wolf has of late. You're still trying to win hockey games if you're the Flames. And I would go right back to Vladar if it were me against Tampa Bay on Thursday. Let's see what Dale and Drumheller says. He says, I was happy to hear you talking positively about Huberdeau before the game after all the negativity he's received from the fan base the last couple of years. His style of play just didn't work here after 2 years of trying, so now he's trying to reinvent himself, which is impressive to see. Hopefully Flames fans embrace him more with time. And there's been frustrating parts for this season too. Like, he's still on pace for less than 60 points, and he had that stretch kind of after a good start, and now this most recent run, he had that stretch in the middle where there were some frustrating games where he wasn't generating much of anything at all. But since being put on that line with Kadri at the end of the Pittsburgh game, the third period of the Penguins game, he's been much better. And yeah, he definitely has focused more on going towards the net. He's definitely focused on being a battler in front of the net. We've seen him be less of the kind of perimeter rush guy. And I'm not saying perimeter in a bad way. Usually you say perimeter in a bad way when talking about hockey. But when we're talking about Huberdeau here, I just mean he was very good on the outside and made things happen on the inside by his expert playmaking. He was so good on the rush. He was so good finding teammates on the rush, even when he was stationary. And he did that a lot from the outside in the offensive zone because his passing was so on point. Well, the Flames don't have quite the same personnel as he had in Florida, and that style of game wasn't working. And so he has changed it up a little bit. We're seeing less and less of those kind of stationary perimeter passes because maybe the Flames don't have the same type of rush speed and the same type of skill as he had with the Panthers. And he's going to the front of the net. And he's always been a guy who can win battles. He's always been a guy that can be pretty strong on pucks. And we've seen a whole lot more of that over the last little bit. And again, scores another goal right in close. And it ends up being an important one. This from Tim. Good evening, Pat. A genuine question. Do you believe certain players are built better for certain conference play? I'm thinking about Huberdeau. Some of his best games as a Flame have come against the Eastern Conference. His best years of his career were also in the East. Is this an actual thing or just a coincidence? Well, sometimes I believe in conferences, but honestly, I think the Eastern Conference is a harder, more difficult conference now than the Western Conference is. I think it's a bit of a misnomer that, you know, the Western Conference is rough and tumble and all that type of stuff. I don't think that's what the West is anymore. And I think that there are some really good, hard to play against teams out East as well. I think the balance of power, I think the better teams, at least for me, the teams that I would point to most as Stanley Cup contenders, I think I would point more to the Eastern Conference than I would the West. Maybe that's just me. But yeah, I don't know. You know, there was a time where maybe I think I would have bought into that, but I don't know if I buy into that now. No, I'm not saying you're wrong, Tim. That's just my opinion based on the question. But I don't know if I see that with Huberdeau and right now specifically. This from John, who says, nice win for the Flames, a slump buster with an exciting finish. Andy writes, it was a shootout in Nashville. Exciting way to close out the road trip. Even better with the win. I don't know what's going on with the Kadri line, but they're clicking again. The entire team pulled together and worked hard for that win. Super happy Walker Dewar is in this lineup. He's on the road to redemption and becoming a full-timer. I think Rooney doesn't really get the respect he works hard for. 19 blocks, PK duties, sacrificing his face, and scoring a goal. I wish he could have more games like that going forward. For me, Rooney's always consistent when it comes to his role, so I kind of hope we can keep him for another year or or two. Looking forward to the future. I hope the Flames can find a center to develop within the organization, or perhaps a trade for a prospect who is a center. That comes from Andy. What else we got here at 960-960? Trent says, finally score four and break that losing skid on the road. Good game from Huberdeau and Rooney tonight. The win feels good. There's too much skill on this team, and hopefully the scoring continues. Who would have thought Huberdeau would be first to 10 goals this season? This from Raj. Pat, Huberdeau didn't work with Lindholm and also earlier stints with Kadri. Why is it clicking now? Are they playing better with lower expectations? No, I honestly think, and this was Mick who pointed it out on Sunday's post-game show, I really think a big part of it is Huberdeau is playing a little bit differently, and I do think that style is a little bit more akin to what is good or works well with Kadri. I mean, Kadri's a guy who likes to hold the puck, and he's a guy that likes to possess the puck and likes to have the puck on his stick in the offensive zone. Huberdeau is a guy that likes to kind of distribute, but likes to distribute and more than just kind of one pass. And so, I don't know. I think that the way he's playing now, where he's still a good distributor, but there's a little bit more battle, and Huberdeau's maybe opening up a little bit more space than he has in the past, I think it works well or a little better with the way Kadri plays. This from Jeff in Lethbridge. This might be Brunette's last game as coach of the Predators. Despite being a close game, Nashville weren't that impressive for a team in desperate need of a win. Nice to see Huberdeau finding chemistry with line mates. Vladar also is showing a high level of play, maybe not seeing this consistently as a Flame. Dewar had his best game of the year. I thought after last year, he might have his last shot with the team. I like his style and love seeing undrafted players succeed. Yeah, four games for Dewar. He's done exactly what he needs to do, and that is play with speed, hard forecheck, be a little physical. The offense is a bonus. He finished today in this game with, what did he finish with? A goal, just the assist, but that line with him, Pelche, and Rooney was quite good. And the goal that he helped set up is a perfect example of when he is his most effective. Face-off one, then he beats Brady Shea wide, like blows by Brady Shea. At the same time, Rooney kind of sneaky behind Braden Schenn, then puts the Jets on himself, beats Schenn, and then Dewar finds him with a great pass. And so how does that goal happen? Why does that goal happen? It happens because Walker Dewar turns on the afterburners and leaves Brady Shea in his dust. So and we've seen that, whether it was the Columbus game where he laid the hit on Zach Werenski and played with some flash, whether it was the game against, it was against St. Louis, the overtime loss where he worked really well with Coleman and Zeri, and that line spent all night on the attack. Now on the fourth line with Pelche and Rooney playing with speed and using his speed to help on the forecheck. So that is more of what you need to see from Dewar. And the more he does that, the more he's going to stay in the lineup, the more he's going to stay in the NHL, the less he's going to have to worry about going back to the American League. We didn't see that at all last year. I actually thought we saw some of it in training camp as well, but he just, you know, Hanzek outplayed him and there were some other things happening in training camp. So Dewar started the year in the American League, but we saw so little of this Walker Dewar last year. Two seasons ago, we saw so much of it. Then, for whatever reason, he wasn't doing that anywhere near enough last year, spent most of the year in the American League. Well, this year has spent most of the year in the AHL this year too, but earned his recall by playing well down there, being almost a point per game player, then has been able to translate it to a bottom six role in the NHL and has done so well. I give him a lot of credit in the four games he's played. What else we got here at 960-960? This reads, Pat, I have a trade proposal that fits the Flames' search for a center within their desired age range. After seeing how well the gamble on Phil Tomasino has worked out for the Penguins, what do you think of trading Kevin Rooney and a third for Peyton Krebs of Buffalo? From what I've heard, Krebs' development hasn't quite lived up to expectations. Since being drafted in 2019 as a Calgary native, he'd likely thrive with consistent top nine or even top 6 minutes. For Buffalo, they get a reliable bottom six center who can kill penalties, win faceoffs, and a decent draft pick. Would love to hear your take on whether this could be a win-win for both teams. I don't think that would be enough for a young player. Like if I'm the Sabres, like I'm not getting a ton for Peyton Krebs, but I think I could get more than a third round pick. And this is no knock on Rooney, but that's a 30 plus year old fourth line center. I think that if you're the Sabres, you'd be looking for more from Krebs. Now, to that point, I do think that Krebs is an interesting target. Like, I think Cousins, as of right now, the other Sabres player that could be an interesting ad for the Flames, I think an asking price on Cousins would probably be too much for the Flames. It might be a whole, I think not might be, I think it will be less for Krebs. I think it would be more than Rooney in a third, but I think you could get Krebs for something that wouldn't be breaking the bank. I think it'd be a whole lot closer to having to break the bank if you were going to go for a guy like Dylan Cousins. And finally, this from finally on our first look inside the text line anyway, Ash writes, with the Avalanche acquiring Blackwood to fix their goaltending woes, I think they are now a lock to make the playoffs. To me, if Conroy indeed wants to emphasize making the playoffs, he needs to make a trade to resolve the Flames' lack of offense. Otherwise, it's simply a year of growth for this team and likely no playoffs in the cards. And I think Conroy's okay with that, Ash. I think that this being a year of growth and development is the priority. And having this team and their young players develop is what matters. If they can make the playoffs, if they can be in it till the end, if they can be competitive for, you know, 75, 80, 82 games, then that's a bonus and that's great. And if they make it, even better. But I don't think Calgary should, nor do I think Calgary will be making any trades strictly to impact this year. And Ash, I don't think they should. You know, if they want to make a trade that fits the long term, that might also have some payoff right now, sure, but a deal to just go and get somebody that's, you know, based solely on trying to help the Flames right now, I think that is off script. I think that is away from what is most important. And I don't think the Flames are interested in doing that. I think the Flames are interested in their 3 to 5 year plan. So if there is a deal that comes along that fits with their 3 to 5 year plan, then sure. But a deal for a 1 year plan, a one season plan, I don't think should be in the cards, and I honestly don't think will be in the cards. Okay, great stuff on the text line so far tonight at 960, 960. Now to the phone lines we go for the first time tonight. Flames win 4-3 in Nashville. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show on this Tuesday night. Let's kick it off on the phone lines by saying hello to Jordan. What's going on, Jordan?
Oh, hey, Pat. I'm just hanging out, trying to get some studying done after watching that game, you know. But, hey, we did it. I'm glad a couple of those not-so-great streaks are over.
Yes, it's good to finally have those end.
It's awesome, yeah. Hopefully, you know, we can keep it up because it's great to break it, but got to keep the production going, of course.
Yes, I mean, one win against a bad Nashville team is a start, but now you got to go back home and see what you can do on this 5-game homestand. And you also, okay, one win, they've only won 4 of 15 road games. Now they have to start being, like, even be 500 on the road, and that is a massive step forward.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, the team's goal is to make the playoffs. You know, you got road games in the playoffs, so it's important to be.
Well,
I mean, you need to win them first of all to get in there, but yeah, you need to be good on the road to do something with it. So, yeah, anyways, happy with the game. I thought it was exciting. I'm glad they were able to kind of get those deficits back every time. You know, you don't like to see them score and then, oh, great, another Nashville goal right after. And then, oh, we're tied, and then, boom, another. But I thought it was good they kept the intensity up to get those goals back and obviously inevitably come up with the win there. So,
yeah, and I mean, I think the one thing that we've known about this team all year is that they are a group that, you know, is resilient and all that type of stuff. And it doesn't always end up resulting in wins, but we know that for the most part, this is not a group that waves white flags very often, right?
Oh, no, of course not. No, they're always going to work back for that. So yeah, it's great. I like to see that. I wanted to ask you about Cajal, just with his kind of, he seems like a great piece for the Flames. I believe he's on an expiring contract, right?
Yes, I believe he is RFA at the end of this year.
Okay, yeah. Do you know, do you think Flames would be interested in signing him to a few more years after, or just because I feel like he'd be a decent, not too expensive?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, I don't think you have to. He's RFA, so you don't have to do that until, like, you know, there's no rush in having to do that, right? You can do that whenever, and you can do it next. You could do it this summer, right? So,
yeah.
But yes, I mean, I think that he gives the Flames something that they don't really have elsewhere in terms of the physicality and kind of that hard-nosed brand of hockey on defense. The Flames don't really have anybody else who does it quite the same way that Pahal does. It's a big reason why he's played every game this year and hasn't been part of that rotation with Bean and Barry and Hanley. So, yeah, I think right now the way Pahal is playing, he puts himself in a good spot to get himself another year or two. Like, sign him to, I don't know if I'd be going much more than two, but another year or two for Pahal seems, if he continues like this, seems very realistic.
Yeah, for sure. And then same with Kevin Ball. I mean, I don't know if he was as, you know, predominant today. Of course, he still played a great game. I just didn't like.
He actually. If we're being honest, Ball had a rough night tonight, especially in the first period and a bit, but was able to get his game back on track. I mean, you don't like, as much as I'm not a big believer in plus minus, minus seven in two games does tell you a little bit of a story. I did think it was a rough trip for Ball, but I thought he was good in the back half of the second and much better in the third. And every D-man's going to have a rough night, so I'm not going to harp on it too much for a guy who's been an absolute revelation for him this year. And I still think there's plenty of wisdom in thinking about signing a longer-term extension for a guy like Ball.
Yeah. No, it'd be... Yeah, cool. Well, it's good to get your opinion on that. And then also with Kevin Rooney, I know, I think he was literally just the last text there was talking about a trade or whatever, but do you think it'd be smart for the Flames to maybe keep him around for another year or two? I know he's slightly older guy and whatever, but he's veteran presence. He's played a great role on that fourth line, and like, even someone like, I know people are talking about bringing Cairns up from the AHL and this, that, the other, but it's like, I feel like Cairns is fit for a higher kind of role, right? So it's like, would Rooney be a decent guy to still keep around for that?
I mean, they could. I don't think it's something that you need to really concern. And this is, again, I don't want to sound dismissive on Rooney at all, because I'm a big fan of the guy, and I think he's had himself a pretty decent season, but I don't know if it's something that you really need to be thinking about right now. I mean, there's other guys in the organization right now that could very plausibly play the fourth line center role, whether it's a Sam Morton or a Justin Kirkland after he comes back. I mean, I don't think you need to make a decision on a guy like Rooney. Do I think it would be a bad move to bring him back? Absolutely not. Do I think it is vital and a priority at this stage? No, he's having himself a nice, effective year for the role he's playing, and I don't think it would be a bad thing to re-sign the guy, but I just think that as of right now, you know, you're more in a situation where they do want to get younger, they do want to give guys more opportunity, and I think that needs to also be taken into account when having a conversation. You know, it's not necessarily just Cairns. I mean, there's Sam Morton. Kirkland had himself a really great story and had turned himself into a full-time NHL. I mean, there are other younger options you could think about too. So let's see how the rest of the season plays out. And also, I do wonder a little bit about Rooney as a low-key trade piece for him. Not in a, you know, obviously not in a blockbuster deal or anything like that, but a guy who can play center ice, play a depth role for you, and could be a veteran improvement on some other teams in a similar role. I don't think it's out of the question that there could be some interest in Rooney at the trade deadline.
Yeah, cool, for sure. Yeah, no, that's great. I can I take one more second? I know you got more people to get through here. Do I got another minute or two, maybe?
Yep.
Yeah, just with like Pelche and Durer, I mean, I think they've both been doing pretty well. I know they've been talked about quite a bit. Do you have any idea what you think or what you think the Flames will do? And, you know, I'm assuming Lomberg will probably be back in the lineup soon, especially if they're going back to Calgary. What they might do, like, with is Kuzmenko in there? Like, what's do you have an idea?
I mean, honestly, I thought Kuzmenko was okay at times in this game, but I mean, I think the way that the fourth line is played, I'd kind of like to keep that together if possible. So I'd actually be really curious to see what they're going to do as a result. I'm actually also quite interested in that for the exact same reasons, Jordan. Like, do you come back? Can you put Lomberg on a line with Coleman and Zeri? I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world if you wanted to keep the current line together. Or could you try doing Pelche on a line with Coleman and Zeri? You could always go back to Dewar as well. I think that they're I think the way that fourth line is played, I think that they have brought more than Kuzmenko has. I'd have no problem if they wanted to sit Kuzmenko again.
Yeah, well, and I know the whole thing all season's been rewarding good play and good effort. So I feel like that would be sticking with their whole thing here. So yeah, cool. That's kind of all the points I wanted to knock off. So I really appreciate the conversation.
Good stuff as always, Jordan. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Yeah, man. Have a good night.
You too, man. 403-240-4444 is your phone number following a Flames 4-3 win on the road in Nashville as we say hello to George. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm good, man.
Good to hear, my friend. I know the previous caller mentioned him too, but I want to give him his props too. Braden Pahal has been quite the revelation for this team, considering he was a waiver claim last year. I mean, to me, he's a perfect 5-6 defenseman. He's definitely exceeded my expectations. I was really happy to see him score a goal. He got close a couple times here this season, but one finally goes in for him, and he's just, you know, well deserved for him. And I think he's I definitely bring him back if they have the option to, and he'd want to come back.
Well, I mean, he's RFA, so he doesn't have much of a choice. He's still right under Flames control, and that's why I say another a 1 or 2 year deal for a guy like Pahal. Buy some time for some of the other guys to continue developing, whether it's a Solovyov or a Kuznetsov or whoever it might be in the American League. You know, Pahal can play on a third line. He's played every game on the right side of the third pair. He relishes the role. And, you know, one thing that will continue to stick out for me is how he really he talked to us on the in the preseason about how he just wants to. There's nothing wrong with being a third pairing defenseman. There's nothing wrong with being the best right side third pair D you can be. And I think he's really leaned into that, and he's played his role perfectly. He doesn't play a ton of minutes, but when he's out there, he throws his body around. You can play him for 12 to 15 minutes a night. Defensively, he's generally pretty reliable for you. You know that you can get some penalty kill minutes out of him. So yeah. And then if all of a sudden a couple of guys do start to push for NHL time, well, then he's played kind of more of the depth role before too, where he's that number seven guy. So I think keeping Pahal around makes a ton of sense for the next couple of years if they want to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree. Like I said, I'm just, again, he was a waiver claim. So that was a great move by Conroy. He really hit it out of the park with some of these waiver claims he made last year. So good on him. The Huberto Kadri possibles line, I'm actually liking. It's working quite well. It's funny. I think Megan Mickelson made a great point of the way how Huberto's kind of changed his game up and playing differently, and now that's actually adding to the chemistry, particularly with him and Kadri. So it's nice to see. You hope it stays the way it is, because like I said, we spoke about it. I believe it was the last call-in show, how kind of boggled my mind how that didn't work before, and now it seems to be working. But I mean, whatever, it's working right now, and they seem to have found something there. And look, he's never going to live up to the contract, we all know that, that's fine, but you know, he is he is contributing in a positive manner again here lately. So, I mean, you have to take that, right? Like, he's not for lack of effort ever with this guy, and he does have the skill and talent, but it is nice to see him do stuff that he hadn't done before, like his net front presence, stuff like that. So, you know, when I have a chance to compliment the guy for doing things that he's going to do well, I'm definitely going to do it.
Well, and he's 5-game point streaks, played pretty well during that stretch. So, you know, he's their leading scorer, and that still counts for something. I know that it's not a high-scoring team, and I think he's on pace now for about 53 points, but he's still this team's leading scorer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so for sure. And then finally, I want to give some love here to the Calgary Wranglers. They're having an incredible season so far. And it's good to see kids like Hanzik now, Stromgren, and Brustevich in particular starting to pick it up and get hot. I know Rory Karens has been hot all year, and lo and behold, the kid scored again tonight. In fact, I think the score just went final. They beat the Manitoba Moose 6-1. What a drubbing. Man, they're playing some good hockey down there. Give Trent Call and the staff a lot of credit, and give a lot of those players. I mean, that's for me, that's very exciting to see so many of our young prospects playing so well, because down the road, if you do need to or want to call up people, like it seems like you have a lot of options, which I remember in the past, we never had those conversations. It was maybe one or two guys we'd ever talk about. Now you could talk about 6 or 7 legitimately. It's actually very exciting for me.
Yeah, Karen's had 3 more points. Brustevich has points in 5 straight now, I think. So Hanzek scored. Klapka had his first 2 points since he was back down there. They've got, when you take a look at that group, it's a pretty young group. Like, you've got your Asperos, you've got your Martin Furks and Alex Gallant, Clark Bishop, Dryden Hunt. Like, you've got your young players down there, but it's generally your veteran players down there, but it's generally a pretty young group. And, you know, Karens is leading the way with what he's doing. And all of a sudden you've got a guy that I think is going to earn a shot at some point this year. I just think you want to make sure that you give him his shot at the right time. Stromgren scored again. You've got a really young defense that, you know, you've got Brustevich, who is making his way in pro hockey, and Poirier's working his way back. Yermo played tonight. You've got Kuznetsov and Solovyov. It's a pretty young defense, and tonight it was Aspero is kind of the only veteran guy on that back end. So yeah, it's a young group for them, and they've put a real emphasis on making their number one affiliate a big time development group. Not every team in the American League has as much of a development bent as the Wranglers do, and they're still winning. I think that's now 18-7-1 is the record, number one in the American League. So yeah, it's been a real success story, and honestly, that's 4 straight years where it's been a very good team in that league. I know last year they had to sneak into the playoffs, but they were so ravaged by injuries and recalls and all that type of stuff. It was like a different roster every single night for Trent Cull. They still find their way into the playoffs. They still win a round. Well, this year, they're back to kind of where they were under those 2 years with Mitch Love. So, it's been a success story again.
It has been, and that's what makes it all the more impressive is the youth and the fact that they do emphasize development more than anything, where you see like an AHL team like the Toronto Marlies. Like, yes, they obviously want to develop players, but they care about winning. Like, they get veterans there for a reason. The Hershey Bears is another perfect example. Of course, they want to develop players for the Washington Capitals, but they really care about winning Calder Cup championships, you know, like, and that seems like almost like that's just as important to them as developing. Whereas the Wranglers, like you said, to do it with such a young roster and such inexperience, very impressive. I mean, I think it's awesome. I'm rooting hard for them. I would love to see them, you know, try get a Calder Cup. I know that's easier said than done, and I'm not saying by any means that they will, but the way they're playing, they certainly have a shot. So that's nice to see.
Sure.
All right, my man. Listen, that's all I got for you tonight. It was nice talking to you, bud, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, George. Be well, buddy. 403-240-4444 is your phone number as the Flames take a 4-3 win on the road in Nashville. Got a couple of lines open if you want to chat tonight on our Flames Talk post-game show. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it's 403-240-4444 is your phone number with Anand with us. What's up, pal?
Good evening, Patty. How are you?
I'm good, bud.
Yeah, it was an amazing game tonight. We broke like a couple of milestones, a win on the road, four goals. Plus in more than like 25 games or more. What did you think of tonight's game overall?
I thought it was they found a way to break those streaks is most important. Yeah. I would say it was short of a masterpiece. I think there was it was one of those nights where we say sometimes like sometimes mistakes leads to excitement. And mistakes led to excitement. It was a generally pretty, trying to think of the right term. It was kind of a sloppy game on both sides through 40 minutes of play. The Flames took just a little more advantage of their opportunities. And then I did like Calgary's third period. I actually liked their second period too, especially after the Marchessault goal. Like I was actually quite unimpressed with Calgary for the first, 25-30 minutes of this game. Thought they were pretty sloppy defensively and just kind of not the details weren't where you need them. Didn't think Nashville was great either. I didn't think Nashville was very good at all tonight, but I didn't think Calgary was for first half of this game. But after the final Predators goal went in, seemed like the Flames finally settled things down. A couple of their guys that didn't have great starts kind of settled their game down, and then Calgary kind of took over, and they tied the game, they take their first lead, and then I thought from that point forward, they did a nice job of kind of sapping the will out of Nashville, and the Preds didn't really have much of anything pushback-wise until they pulled their goalie, and you know sometimes it's going to be too little too late. Tonight it was, so I thought Calgary was the better of the two teams. I did not think it was the world's most pristinely played hockey game, but at this point, with the Flames on the road, they needed a win. Didn't matter how ugly it was, so they found a way tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Alright, I have a second question also for you. I know the pairing of Ball and Anderson has struggled in the road trip. Do you think we'll see any changes in the front, or do you think they'll come back home, try to evaluate that way, and see if there are any changes to be made?
No, I wouldn't make. I mean, they've been their best pairing all year long. They've played essentially all season together. If you're going to play as much as Ball and Anderson do, you're going to have a couple of bad nights. And they did not have a great night against Dallas. They did not have a good first half against Nashville, but that's going to happen. They've been so important and so good for the Flames this year that I really would not be thinking unless it goes like 8 or 9 games in a row where that pairing is kind of like, whoa, they've really fallen off. I'm not splitting them apart. I think there's something to be said about continuity. And there's something to be said about having a pairing that can just, you kind of just rinse and repeat. And it's like a baseball lineup. You just know they're there. They have played more than 460 minutes together at 5-on-5 this year. Number two, in the NHL. Only Ekholm and Bouchard and Edmonton have played more together this year than Anderson and Ball have. And so I think you want to keep that going as much as possible. So no, even though it wasn't a great trip for them, I'm not thinking about splitting them up because they've been so good for the Flames this year for the most part.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, fair point. And final question for you. I know Lomberg is with his family. Congratulations to his upcoming third child. But do you think we'll see Lomberg slot back in, or would you keep Kuzmenko? And also that Peltier Rooney Doer line, because they've been good tonight as well.
Yeah, I don't know whether or not Lomberg will be good to go on Thursday or not. Maybe because they're back in Calgary. I don't even want to speak to it because, you know, you're waiting for a birth of a child. And so, I honestly don't know if at this point that has happened or not. It hadn't up until the game. And so, it all kind of depends on where that is. We all know how somewhat unpredictable that can be, where a kid can come at any time. So I don't want to speak for where the Lomberg family is or where Ryan is right now. Maybe with the team being back in Calgary, there might be a better chance that he plays on Thursday. I think fairly safe to say he'll be back at some point on this homestand. If he was able to return and did decide to come back for the game against Tampa Bay on Thursday, then honestly, I'd take Kuzmenko out. I'd either put Lomberg onto the line with Coleman and Zeri, or I'd move Dewar back there or Pelche in there. But I would probably, of all those guys that would be in the mix, I'd probably lean towards taking Kuzmenko out.
All right, gotcha. Fair enough. All right, thank you so much, Pat. I appreciate it. Have a good night and talk to you on Thursday.
Okay, Anand, you be well, pal. Good to talk to you, as always, with the phone lines open at 403-240-4444. Let's say hello to Neil. What's going on, Neil?
Not a whole lot, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm good, man.
I did think that Dan Vladar was like very pivotal in the victory tonight. He was facing shots from every which way, and you know he battles. I think that's something that not all goalies do. Like he has a certain thing about him that like he's a potential number one goalie in the NHL the way I view him. I think that's, I don't know, if you look at the goalie conversation in the city, I think that's what kind of makes him the odd man out, because they're both kind of like prototypical, underdogs, battlers, because they were passed over. Like, you think that Jeremy Swayman, and it was Dan Vladar, Jeremy Swayman coming to Calgary, one of them, and it ended up being Vladar, right? Like, so, you know, maybe he's got like a chip on his shoulder. And I think this guy really is playing hard this year, and it's something to behold, because you know, you have all this hype around the one guy, but, the other guy might feel a little overshadowed.
And that could very well be the case. And if you're the Flames, you're all for competition like that, right? I mean, that's one of the things that they've wanted all year, is these two guys to be in a bit of a competition. And honestly, that it's a good tandem and they work well with one another, but it's also fighting for playing time. And Wolf, I think, so we're now 29 games in. I think for the first 20 or so games, Wolf was clearly the better guy. And for the last 9-10 games, I think Vladar has been the better guy. And that's part of a tandem with two guys who have never seen this NHL workload before. Both guys are playing more games in the NHL than they're used to. And they're dealing with that workload. And the mental side of it, it's not so much the physical side of it, it's the mental side of it that they're dealing with it. The grind of going back in two nights later and all that type of stuff. And so I just think that having a tandem like this and being able to use both guys is important. And part of having a tandem, an effective tandem, is that when one guy is outplaying the other, or one guy's level is a little higher, well, you can ride him a little bit more. And that's why it was the right call earlier when Wolf started 6 of 8, I think it was. And that's because he was being the better guy. He was giving the Flames at the time a slightly better chance to win. Well, Wolf's game has come down slightly, and he's fighting it a little bit more the last three starts, where he's been sub 900 on the save percentage for his last three starts. And Vladar's been steady and has given them a slightly better chance to win. He's kind of given them slightly higher quality starts. So you go with Vladar for a little bit until that changes. And that's part of having a good tandem, right?
Well, yeah, and I think it's actually like going into the season. Like I've heard many people say, like all the pundits, who's like talking about how great the goaltending would be, and that's been the strength, right? So if you see a little bit of weakness there, it is definitely a big talking point, I suppose. But like to me, it's like now it seems to have been highlighted as one of our greatest strengths organizationally, and it's a great place to start at. And I mean, whether you're a team tank or your, team, retool or whatever it is, I think that's a great place to be in, where you have two guys that are dependable, that are both like really want to do it here, it seems like, or like be the guy here. And it's just sensational. I really like watching both these goalies play, and I think they're
the only reason why Vladar's name gets put in the trade conversation is because Wolf is younger and probably goalie people look at him and feel like there's a higher ceiling there. And maybe the technical side of his game is a little more advanced than Vladar's. And Devin Cooley is playing some great hockey, right? And so when you've got Cooley, right, when you've got Wolf, and you've got Vladar, and all three guys want the NHL net, at some point there probably is going to be an odd man out. And the reason why we've talked about that guy potentially being Vladar is because he's older, and he's the guy who's on the expiring contract. He's UFA at the end of next year. Cooley and Wolf are both under contract.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for talking about goalies with me, Pat. I know we're both like not as well versus it's necessary, but I think we knocked it out of the park there. Have a good day, man.
Thanks, Neil. I don't think anybody is well versed in goaltending who isn't a goaltending expert. It is the silliest position in professional sports. And by that I mean it's the I think Pinder's listing right now. Pinder always said goalies are voodoo, right? And it's true. They are. You don't know. You can't predict the silly position. They're so unpredictable. A good year can be followed by a horrendous year. A guy who looks like a surefire can't miss ends up having a horrible NHL career, and a guy that nobody's heard of turns into a number one for 10 years. It's such, we're all like, I think we're just starting to scratch the surface, and the collective we are just starting to scratch the surface on like the knowledge of goaltending, and departments in the NHL are just starting to become good at this. You know, the Flames were one of the first in the NHL to do just a goaltending department, and a director of goaltender like Jordan Sigalet. Like it's a silly position. It is hard to predict. It's the most important or one of the most important, like goaltender, quarterback, starting pitcher. We're talking about one of the most important positions in North American pro sports, and probably the one that is the most difficult to predict, to project, and to really get a handle on knowledge-wise. So, you know, that's why it ends up being is so that's why I say I don't know anything about goaltending. I listen to Kevin Woodley, I listen to Jason LaBarbera, I listen to Jordan Sigalet or Mackenzie Skapski. Like I listen to the people who know the position, and even for the people who know the position most, they're still learning a lot about it, and we're just starting to scratch the surface of the overall knowledge of the position. Period. I really do believe that. Speaking of which, following a 4-3 Flames win on the road in Nashville, it's time for tonight's Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. Vladar back in net tonight. He makes his fourth start in 5 games, and his Save of the Game tonight comes in period number 3.
Novak shoots it. That shot's tipped by Forsberg. Stopped by Vladar. There's a mad scramble, and Vladar keeps it out. And now the Flames goaltender starts throwing punches. Mayhem in Music City, USA.
Dan Vladar ends up tonight making 17 stops. That's one of his 17 stops tonight. And that is his Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Speaking of Dan Vladar, who I would go right back to on Thursday against Tampa Bay, let's hear from him post-game following a 17-save win on the road in Nashville.
Well, Dan, let's just start with the win, because it's significant, as we know, in terms of we've talked a lot about the road game. What did it mean to this group to get one done here tonight?
I mean, we got one off our backs for sure. You know, it was probably a heavy stone that hit the locker room after the game, where everyone just went, whew. So that's great. And, you know, we just got to keep going. And I think we played the right way. Obviously, they got some really good players up front. And, you know, they get an opportunity, they can score. But overall, I thought it was a really good game from our side, and super responsible. And especially the box towards the end was awesome.
Well, yeah, just specifically, I know. I mean, Colsey had one in the high spot there, and then Kevin. I mean, what are you seeing in the final 5-6 minutes there?
Just the sacrifice and doing everything to win, and literally leaving our heart out there. So I think that's what that was kind of our mentality at the beginning of the year. And then you know, we just gotta keep grinding, keep doing that. And as I said, that's a huge win for our group.
That sequence at the end of the game, what are you seeing? What are you feeling as the puck is kind of around the crease there?
I mean, just I was just in a blender, you know, just scramble mode, and you know, just trying to keep the puck in front of me, yelling at guys, and you know, I don't even know. There's just so many things happening out there that you don't even know. You're just trying to battle, and as I said, I'm glad that we won.
Maybe just speak to the persistence of your group tonight. You know, you go down 1-0, you go down 2-1, you go down 3-2, just in terms of never giving up.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's we were already talking about it this whole morning. You know, the coaching staff was just saying, just stay with it, and it's gonna come back. It's gonna pay off, and it did. So you know, as I said, a huge win for us, and we gotta keep going for the next five games or whatever you have to Christmas. So huge games coming up at home, and so as I said, we gotta get ready again and do the same thing.
That is Dan Vladar post game tonight. Final score from Nashville: Flames take a 4-3 win over the Predators. Okay, last call for phone calls. If you want to chime in, now's the time to do so. Call now, 403-240-4444. Got a couple of lines open. Last call for phone calls. Keep your texts coming at 960-960. One more look inside the Flames locker room. More of your texts, more of your phone calls still to come. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And live right here, this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, last call for phone calls. If you want to chat with us tonight, call now, 403-240-4444. It is your last call, though. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, you still have an opportunity to jump in with us on this Tuesday night. 4-3 final score. Flames beat the Nashville Predators to snap their road losing streak at 8 games. Also, text line remains open at 960-960. Back to your texts, back to your phone calls very shortly. But one more look inside the Flames locker room. A goal and an assist for Kevin Rooney tonight. And here he is post-game following a 4-3 win over Nashville.
Well, let's start with the win first and foremost, because we know what it's been here on the road, but how did it feel to get one done here tonight?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been talking about it for some time now about, you know, being better on the road, and, you know, it was, felt really good to be able to get one on the road. And in the Dallas game, we thought we played two really good periods and then kind of, you know, it snowballed on us in the third. So we just tried to stay positive coming into tonight and, you know, able to get one.
Yeah, maybe the way you did it too, with some blocks, obviously, get the fourth goal, that coveted fourth goal here tonight as well as a group. You know, what stood out to you?
Yeah, it was a full team effort. Like you said, a lot of blocks, you know, contributions from up and down the lineup. Vladdy obviously played outstanding. Our power play came up big. Penalty kill came up big when it was needed. So, yeah, it was full team effort tonight.
I had to like the responses too. Every time Nashville would, you know, go up one, you guys found a way to respond fairly shortly thereafter. You know, your line finding two of those. What did you think of those sequences?
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of something we've been doing all year. You know, we haven't been able to really carry that onto the road, but we've been, you know, kind of even keel when we've been down in games and been up in games. So, you know, credit to the leadership for, you know, sticking with the same message. And yeah, I thought as a line, you know, we had a little of some highs and lows. I mean, obviously we really didn't like our first period as a line, but we were able to stick with it and, you know, get rewarded in the second day.
Where did the block? Colsey had one just before you, and then yours looked a little scary there.
Yeah, it was a little scary. I think it got me in the chest, then the chin. So I kind of sat there for a second, like, oh, I'm all good. So able to get back up. Yeah, just trying to do anything I can right now to help us get wins.
Yeah, you got to love the bench reaction too, obviously to yours, but then to Colsey's. Like, just those moments in games and how your teammates love those.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we got a real close group in here, and we've really been striving to be better team on the road because we've loved playing at the Dome. So if we can kind of put that together, we know we're going to be a really good team.
That is Kevin Rooney post-game tonight. Final score, 4-3. Flames win in Nashville. Goal and an assist for Rooney. One of his better, if not his best, game as a member of the Flames. Back to the text line we go at 960-960. This comes from Jim, who says, I am more than happy with this team. Win or lose right now. Good to see their young depth coming through. It's a process. Hoping for a good center iceman going forward. That Frederick kid in Boston is another player to watch as a solid up-and-comer like Richie Poitras. However, through drafting or trade, that comes from Jim. This comes from Kyle. Win or lose, they've been a blast to watch this year. When you're screaming at the TV all game, either from calls, breakdowns, big hits, or great plays, this year's team has been one of my favorites to watch as a fan. I can't ask for more than that. This from Tomas and Strathmore. With Wolf in a bit of a slump, do you think the Flames should ride Vladar for the next little while? Honestly, I think they should go to Vladar on Thursday, and that's it. And that's as far as I'd be looking at right now. You know, that's not to say that they wouldn't, but I think Vladar's earned the next start, and then you kind of go from there. And that's kind of what it is right now. I think it's a game-by-game thing. I don't think they're planning out anything more than that because Wolf still needs his games too. So they got a five-game homestand. I'd go to Vladar on Thursday against Tampa Bay, and then we'll see what they do on Saturday against Florida, depending on how things go Thursday against the Lightning, right? This says from Matt, says, I really thought the Flames took a big step forward in that third period in playing with a lead, getting pucks deep, not taking unnecessary chances that can lead to turnovers, and playing on their toes in general. Excited for a big road win. Also, they increased their time leading on the road this season by almost 50%. Yeah, they had led about 52 minutes on the road prior to tonight, led for about 24 this evening. So that is a significant step forward. They had led for just over 6% of their season on the road this year. It's gone up a little bit, still not a ton, but that has been a problem for them all year. Playing with the lead has been a problem, but specifically on the road, it has been just almost they'd get a lead and then lose it, or they wouldn't have leads. Well, tonight they finally got a lead and they didn't relinquish it for a little bit more than 24 minutes in this game tonight. This says from Colin, I've been tough on Huberdeau since he got here, and he'll probably never live up to the contract, but he's showing signs of improvement. The Flames are asking him to do something he's never done before. I've always heard he's a competitor, but that wasn't coming through most of last year and even at times this year. But he's doing some good things out there. Him and Nas are on a bit of a run here, so keep it up. This reads, Pat, 100% agree with George. The Wranglers are doing very well. Went to see a game a couple of games ago. Great atmosphere as well. And indeed, the Wranglers won again on Tuesday night, 6-1 over the Manitoba Moose. This reads, goaltending has been a strength of the Flames this year. Keep going with this tandem, and I wish people would stop wanting to get rid of Vladar. That comes from Mike. I don't think anybody is wanting to get rid of Vladar, Mike, as much as they see it as a trade chip and see it as something that they can do to continue to build for the future, with Wolf and Cooley also in the conversation. That would be the main reason why Vladar's name is talked about more when it comes to trades, and he's a pending unrestricted free agent, right? So you've got all those things that come into it. This from Alex in North Okotoks. I've been quite impressed with call-ups as of late, and sorry if this has been talked about already, but at what point does Cairns get a look to help kickstart the offense? Huska can find a spot in the top nine for him, even if it's for a game or two, and see how it goes. Can't hurt to try, no? Well, where in the top nine is he going to go? That would be my only question. I would prefer... doesn't matter what I prefer. That's the wrong way of phrasing it. Because who cares what I prefer? I just personally think it's better for him to be playing center. Like, he's played center all year for the Wranglers. He's their number one center. So unless there is going to be a top nine center ice spot for him in the NHL, what are we talking about here? Like, why put him on the fourth line on the wing if he can keep on playing 19 minutes as the number one center, putting up a ton of points and gaining boatloads of confidence in the American League? I'm not suggesting that that bringing up Cairns isn't something they should be thinking about. I just think you want to time it right and you do it when it makes sense. Like, they're not doing, there's nothing wrong with keeping a guy in the American League longer than people on Twitter want, right? Like, if he's there all year, and by the way, if he keeps playing this way and you know, they're well into their season, I don't think there's any reason to believe he's going to stop playing the way he is. He had three more points tonight. But if Cairns were to not play at all in the NHL this year, that's just fine, in my opinion. Now, I think he will play. I do think he'll get an opportunity, but time it right. Put him in a situation to succeed in the NHL too. Don't just do it because he's the leading scorer. It made sense to call up Pelche and Duehr. That's who they needed. They don't need to do a recall right now. They don't need to. So let them keep cooking in the American League. You don't recall a guy just for the sake of it. You wait till the timing is right and you need to do it. And they needed to recall some wingers when they were going to healthy scratch Kuzmenko and Kirkland went down for the season. Those guys were both playing the wing. Why would you recall your number one center in the American League when the need was for two wingers, right? That's my opinion. I'm not saying that is everybody's opinion. Alex in North Okotoks may disagree, and that's fine, but that's kind of where I'm at That would be my rebuttal to the, you know, why not call up Karens right now conversation. Greg in Varsity says, Dan Vladar interviews always sound like they're at 1.5 speed on a podcast. Great game for Vladar tonight. If they signed him to an extension and kept this duo for a couple of years, it may have more practical value than any second or third pick he may fetch the Flames in a trade. Only thing I would say to that, Greg, is that then what about Cooley? And you've got this really exciting prospect in Cooley that you want to have in the conversation too. Maybe you start thinking about dealing a guy like Cooley. I don't know if they decide to trade a Vladar. If they decide to extend a Vladar, but I still think the conversation is valid about a pending unrestricted free agent. I also think at some point a conversation about extending him is valid. I don't think it's a silly thought, but that's why his name keeps coming up on the trade front. This from Sonny, who says, love this team effort tonight. Rooney, Coleman blocks, Zeri not retaliating. As for the refs and for the haters of this win, I don't like it. I don't love it. I don't want some more of it. Also, hey, I have to say, hey, Nashville, you suck. Bring on the Lightning, who were hosed on a call in Edmonton and should be hungry. Have a great night to Pat and fellow Flames fans. Yes, there was I like it. I love it. I want some more of it is the Predators goal song. Don't know what it is about the Predators scoring, but I like it. I love it. I want some more of it is what he was getting at. And then they also say you suck after every goal they score. There you go at 960. Great stuff on the phone lines, on the text line tonight. And always appreciate your text, 960-960. Couple more calls on the phone lines tonight as the Flames take a 4-3 win on the road in Nashville. It is Parsons up next on the phone lines tonight. Been a while, Parsons. What's going on?
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Good. Yeah, I got a question for you. So we kind of labeled this game as one of those quote-unquote must-win games.
I called it a can't-lose game. I don't believe in...
Or a can't-lose game.
I don't believe in must-win games in December.
So let's say it's a can't-lose game. Mm-hmm. If we did lose it tonight, what do you think, if any, ramifications would be?
I don't know. Probably nothing. A couple of changes on the lines, maybe. Probably Wolf would be starting on Thursday. I don't think there would be drastic implications. I just called it a can't-lose game because you've lost 8 in a row on the road going in. You haven't scored more than 3 in a quarter century, it felt like. And you're going up against a just god-awful Predators team that can't win. So that's more why I was like, you can't lose this game. If you want to remain a playoff team or if you want to remain in the Western Conference playoff conversation, this was one you just couldn't lose.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and I'm, you know, you have to feel for Nashville, too, because it was probably kind of the same thing for them, too, right?
Well, kind of, except that they're like 95 games below 500, right?
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, I got a question for you. Have you heard from Sylvia at all this year?
I don't know. She may have called once this year. I don't know. Everything blends together. I feel like she's called once this year, though.
Oh, okay. Because I haven't heard from her at all. So just wondering if she's okay. I thought Rooney had a great game tonight, actually. I was a little nervous on that block shot for him. I was hoping that wouldn't hit him right in the teeth. But, I thought he had a good game tonight. And I'm actually kind of quite impressed with this Huberto Kadri Pospisil line as of late. You know, like who would think that Huberto would be leading the team in goals at this point this year, eh?
Yeah, it's not just points, it's goals and points.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that this long or this far into a season, Jonathan Huberto would have more goals than assists?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that too. Yeah.
He's got 10 goals and 9 assists. Like that's bizarro land stuff.
Yeah, that's like total opposite for him. I got to ask you a question, though. Sharon Govich, last year he was known as a pretty good penalty killer and whatnot. This year, as far as metrics go, in terms of goals being scored on us when he's on the ice and defensively this year, Are you worried about him a little bit and this contract?
Not so worried about the contract, if I'm being perfectly honest. I know it has not been a great start to the deal, but I still think there was plenty of reason to go down that road with him. I definitely would agree that it has been a generally underwhelming. It's been a generally underwhelming year for him. There's no doubt about that. He's been not very impactful on a regular basis offensively. They tried him again. They tried him at center. They were using him at center and on the wing, and he was coming off the injury. There were some things working against him, but you know, generally, he has not been the type of impact maker you would like in year one of that contract. I won't dispute that. However, I do still think that there's plenty to like from him. I don't think that last year was a complete and utter fluke. I just think he's kind of not all that dissimilar to Kuzmenko right now. I think maybe he's a little up in his head in terms of what's happening. The offense isn't coming, and you know, they had struggled for a while to find a good place for him. That maybe has changed a little bit now that they have started using him on that line with Backlund and Coronado. But I definitely don't think he's been great this year. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. But I do. I would not say that I'm worried about the contract as of yet.
Like offense aside, like, what are you making of his game defensively? Like, when he's on the ice, because the stats don't look pretty on him. Apparently,
I would say he has looked at times pretty soft defensively. Mm-hmm. Which you would like to see be a little different. It was one thing that was even kind of part of the Yegor experience last year too, was him being at times a little soft on pucks, but and even soft away from the puck times. But he got better at that. He really dug in and improved that in the second half of last season. So I think he can improve that again, but you need to see it happen too.
All right. I got kind of a side question for you. You know, with us having Vladar in the fold, and you know, people are always talking about possibly this, possibly that. Colorado's made some interesting changes in the goal crease, like with shipping out Anonen, which I thought this guy was on the up and up for sure. Like, his stats last year were awesome. And then they ship out both their one and two goalies, so Anonen and Gorgiev, for Wedgwood and Blackwood. Are you a little bit surprised, or do you happen to know if Colorado came knocking on the door with Calgary for Vladar?
I don't know if they did. I'm sure that there, at the very least, there was a conversation about it. But my understanding was that Colorado was pretty big on Mackenzie Blackwood the whole way through. So I think he was the guy that they had desired to bring in. And so they finally got, like, it sounds like they were working on that deal for quite some time. So I think Blackwood was the guy they wanted all along. And I don't think Vladar would have been getting that same type of package that that Blackwood did. No knock on Vladar, but Blackwood's having a great year for a bad San Jose team. He's had a bit of a he's got more of a proven track record of playing significant games and at a decently high level in the NHL. And it sounds like that was the guy Colorado kind of had coveted all along.
Interesting. Yeah, okay. Because I was kind of curious as to where you rate Vladar against those two pickups.
Well, Wedgwood, now that they have gone and gotten Wedgwood and Blackwood, it makes a little bit more sense. If it was just Wedgwood, I would have been like, well, yeah, I think Vladar is the upgrade there. But compared to Blackwood, they're only 2 years apart. There's a little bit more of a resume for Blackwood. Some of his metrics have been quite strong. Some of his performances have been quite strong. So I get that one a little bit more. I could understand if the Avalanche saw Mackenzie Blackwood as the guy they wanted compared to Vladar. Wedgwood was a little bit more, when people were talking about, oh, well, the Avalanche, they've finally stabilized their goaltending with Scott Wedgwood. I was like, what? What are you talking about? But now that they go and get Wedgwood as their backup, clearly, and Blackwood as the guy that is going to take most of the starts or the bulk of the starts, that makes a little bit more sense to me. So I would personally, now I don't know where Kevin Woodley would be on this, and I could be dead wrong because he knows more about this silly position than I do. But I personally would have rated Blackwood higher than Vladar.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Blackwood, not Wedgwood.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And last one for you. If we have a season where we kind of miss out on the playoffs and whatnot, and a losing season, hypothetically, do you think there's an appetite for Anderson to want to re-sign after his contract's up?
I don't know. And I don't say that to try to dodge your question. I don't know where Raz's head's at. I can't sit here and guess where his head's going to be at in 7 months or whatever when he'd be eligible to re-sign. Do I think there's a chance? Sure. Especially if the Flames, really continue to sell the plan that they have here. And if the plan is something that Raz continues to be interested in, then sure, why not? But I don't know if this is going to be the first time that Raz has hit unrestricted free agency. So I think it is, I don't think it's a guarantee that he would be for sure ready to re-up here, but I also think there's a chance he would. So I think you got to wait a little bit, see where he's at the end of this season, and then kind of go from there.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Like, I can't sit here and be skeptical and say, well, no, he doesn't want to sign. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I was just wondering if you had any heartbeat on that. Or
well, because there really hasn't been a heartbeat, because I don't think Raz is really thinking about it right now. I mean, I think that I get why people are like, well, maybe he doesn't want to re-sign here, because maybe he doesn't. And if he's not a believer in where they're going, then yeah, he probably won't. But, you know, I think that he's been given a lot of responsibility here and has raised his game to a new level here. He's going to represent Sweden as at that Four Nations face-off. I don't know. I just don't think it's out of the question that he'd be interested in re-signing here at all.
Okay, and just one last quick one. At the end of the year, and when it comes to next year's draft, what is your prediction as to what place we're going to be picking?
I don't even want like that. I have no idea. I'll say they'll pick, you know what? I'll say they'll pick ninth.
Okay, that's a safe one.
Yeah, I'm going to be safe on that because I hate the question.
Okay. All right, brother. You have a good night, okay?
Thanks, Parse. See you, buddy.
Take care.
One more call. Let's say hello to Francesco. What's up, bud?
Hello, Mr. Pat Steinberg. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good. You know, I hope I can get through all my notes here. Let me just turn on my on-air light here in my hot stove lounge. There we go. Okay. I'm not here to talk about trades. I don't want to talk about trades. I'm not here to talk about space talk with the cap and whatever. I don't know much about that stuff. But basically, my questions are, that George guy, was he the rules guy that from the other night? One of your callers, he calls in all the time?
Well, he is a guy who calls in all the time. I don't know what you mean by the rules guy, but he does call in lots.
Yeah, he had a nice little interpretation or description of the rule. A couple of
shows. on the overtime winner. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, that would have been him.
He's really good, and I wish I could be like him on the air. I just don't know if I can achieve that right now. But I think that Calgary usually plays good in Nashville. Probably because there's a country theme associated with that. I don't know, but
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Did hey, I just have a quick question. Did Mr. Bean play tonight?
He did.
Okay, I referenced him as Mr. Bean because I love that last name, and my favorite episode of Mr. Bean was when he had the Christmas turkey on his head.
That's a good show.
That was a pretty good show. So he's a good character to have on the Flames. This Lundberg guy, I don't know if he had the baby yet, but again, the second warning. Don't take my warning. There was apparently a second Bill Lundberg on the show, and he was the good guy. So you can name your son Bill if you want. Okay. Thanks. I love Huberdeau, but he shot one under par and was the first star of the game. Good for that. That's an interesting stat. Minus one, and he's the first star, and lots of people are pumping him up tonight and whatever. And
well, that's really, because that's really, because generally plus minus is not a telling stat. Like unless
that's true.
It's not the world's most accurate barometer of how a guy's playing. If you're like minus seven in two games, like Kevin Ball is, it might give a little bit more of a barometer. But even then, it's really, there are far more telling stats out there.
I'm trying to mirror his image, and I'm thinking of Tanguay, Alex Tanguay, almost kind of like his style of play.
Yeah, I think Tanguay was even more frustrating when it came to his desire to want to pass the puck as opposed to shoot it. But on the flip side, Tanguay had some really productive seasons here in Calgary.
Yeah.
Whereas we've yet to see that with Huberdeau.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more there. And, you know, I listen to the show on the radio, and who does the play-by-play these days? I'm sorry if I don't remember his name, but...
His name's Derek Wills.
Derek Wills. What a great job he did when Darth Vader, like, started throwing punches and whatever. He described it. He got so excited. I'm like, what's happening? A goalie's fighting? What? Like, is that for real? Could you describe it for me?
There was just like a little goal mouth scramble and everybody kind of got involved and he threw like a kind of a half-hearted punch or two in there. He kind of just got involved for a second and then backed off.
I would love to see a goalie just lose it one day, just take his mask off, put it on the back of the net calmly, then take his blocker off.
Well, I mean, we just saw Merzlikins try to go after Mackenzie Weegar recently. So like, It's happened somewhat recently.
Yeah, let's get Willie DeWitt to train the goalies. That'll be a great one right there. But if people talking about Vladar potentially being traded, if he gets traded, can he please go to the Dallas Stars and we could take Sagan back, maybe?
Don't know if that's the trade that would come through.
Okay. Anyway, I just want everyone to have a Merry Christmas this year and thanks for everyone to listening to the show. Pat, you do such an amazing job. I'm blown away. So many types of people, so many different scenarios. But if the Flames don't spend that $26 million, are you going to get a bonus or what? Because you deserve it.
I won't get a bonus, period. I can be 100% positive on that.
Well, that's disappointing because, man, you do a great job. And thank you for having me on the show. I'm just an adolescent in a 48-year-old body.
Thanks, Francesco. Be well, buddy.
Thanks, man. Will do. Bye-bye.
That'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. Hey, always some interesting stuff that you get here on Flames Talk post-game. Hey, Flames win 4-3 in Nashville. Somebody just sent me an Instagram message that made me laugh based on that last call. Flames snap their road losing skid at 8 games. Also, they score 4 goals for the first time in 26 games. How'd we get here? Time for the final summary. Here's how it went tonight. As Nashville opened the scoring in this game at the 7:45 mark of the first period, Jonathan Marchessault makes it 1-0 with his 6th of the year. Steven Stamkos, Philip Forsberg draw the assist, but the Flames equalize. Less than 3 minutes later, Nazem Kadri ties it with his 9th of the year. Kadri from Jonathan Huberdeau at 10:22. We had a 1-1 tie, but 30 seconds after that, Tommy Novak makes it 2-1. Predators, his fourth from Mark Jankowski and Luke Evangelista at 10:52. We had a 2-1 Nashville lead after 20. Flames tie it early in the second. Kevin Rooney with his third of the year. Rooney from Walker Dewar at 2:27. But again, Predators go back out in front. Marchessault again at 7:41 with his seventh of the year. Marchessault from Philip Forsberg. It was 3-2 Nashville. But again, Flames tie it. Braden Pahal makes it 3-3 at 13:49 of the second period. Pahal's first of the year from Jacob Pelche and Rooney at 13:49. And then finally, the Flames take their first lead of this game. 2 minutes later, Jonathan Huberdeau makes it 4-3 on the power play. Huberdeau's team leading 10th from Matt Coronato and Connor Zary at 15:49. Flames led 4-3. That was your score after 40 minutes of play. And the Flames don't allow a goal in the third period. No scoring in the final frame. And 4-3 ends up being your final score. Final shots, 28-20 in favor of Calgary. Flames go 1-for-2 on the power play tonight. Nashville 0-for-2 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight, number 3, Kevin Rooney. Number 2, Jonathan Marchessault. And with a goal and an assist, your number 1 star tonight, Jonathan Huberdeau. Hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Kevin Rooney. With the win, Flames improved to 14-10-5. They're back in action Thursday at home to Tampa Bay, while Nashville falls to 7-16-6. They're back in action Thursday on the road in Dallas. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. As we start to wrap things up on our Flames Talk post-game show, available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Next up for the Flames, as I mentioned, they host the Tampa Bay Lightning to kick off a pre-Christmas 5-game homestand on Thursday. Start time, 7 o'clock, which means we're on the air at 6 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. As the final score from Nashville, Flames finally win on the road, 4-3 in regulation. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.